Undefeated. We're going to be talking about undefeated for the next few weeks through Lent. And so as we stop and we think about undefeated, what in the world are we really talking about? Well, we're talking about how the devil, anybody know the devil? I know him. I can tell you more about him than I can the good Lord probably. But I know he's for real, that's for sure. But we're going to be talking about how the devil tried every way in the world to defeat us, to defeat Christ, to defeat the plan of salvation. And yet, we know that it didn't work. He couldn't do it. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't do it. And so we come this morning in the garden, and we're starting in Genesis 3, and we're going to be going through some of the Old Testament into the New Testament before Easter. But as we start this morning in Genesis 3 and look at our scripture, we find this morning that Adam and Eve were living in a beautiful, beautiful garden. Adam was there. God had given him Eve. And folks, today in the world that we live in, we live in a beautiful, beautiful world. It's ugly with a lot of the things that goes on in the world with the people and all, but it turns ugly in the Old Testament as well. And so it's nothing new. Where we're living today is really nothing new. And so we see that they're in the most beautiful place that God could have created. And they know this. And Eve is there, basically by herself, I would say. I don't know whether Adam was right by her side or not when the serpent tested her, but I'm going to say that she was probably, Adam had probably stepped away. I'm hoping that he had, because the men should be leading the ladies. The men are superior in lots of ways over the ladies, although the ladies are just loved just as much and thought just as much of in God's eyes and in our eyes. We couldn't make it without the ladies. And God knew this, and that's why he sent Eve. So let's just read the scripture, and then let's take a look at it. It says in the third chapter, first verse, it says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we may not be allowed to eat.' God said, 'You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die.' 'You won't die,' the serpent replied to the woman. 'God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.' The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' And he replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.' 'Who told you that you were naked?' the Lord God asked. 'Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?' The man replied, "It was the woman who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, 'What have you done?' 'The serpent deceived me,' she replied. 'That's why I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed. More than all animals, domestic and wild, you will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust, as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between you, in between your offsprings and her offspring. He will strike your head, and he will strike his heel, and you will strike his heel. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we take a look at the reading of God's word, folks, and we see that Adam and Eve, like we said, they have everything that they need. God has prepared for them everything that they could ever need or want. Does that sound like anybody today? Does that sound like any of us? God has given us everything that we could ever desire, need, or want. We have all of it. But yet, we're not happy. We're not happy. Tammy just asked me yesterday, what's the deal? About something I was talking to her about. She said, you know, really? I said, yeah, really. No matter what you've got, no matter what you're doing, no matter what your house you're living in, what car you're driving, no matter what's happening, you're always looking to what? You're looking to that tree in the middle of that garden. The one that looks better to you than any other tree in the garden. This is what was happening with Adam and Eve. They didn't have the things that we have today, but they had a beautiful place to live. God was taking care of them. He was taking all their needs and wants and desires and filling them. And yet, they're listening to a serpent, to the devil. This is who has come. This is who has come to break up God's party. And so, we know that he comes in and he comes as a serpent. He comes and he speaks to Eve. And he tells her, he said, the only reason God doesn't want you to eat that tree is you're going to be as smart as he is. If you'll just eat it, you'll find out. She thought, wow, you reckon that's why he's telling us not to eat the tree? No, it wasn't why he was telling her not to eat the tree. Can you imagine what we could have been as a society had they not eaten the tree? Can you imagine how it would have been to live with the people, God's children? Can you just imagine what the consequence of Adam and Eve really is? So we know that she listened to the devil. She wanted to hear what he had to say. She wanted to know if he was smarter than God. She wanted to know what the real deal was. But you see, he was conniving. He was one that could tell you anything and make you believe it. Folks, I don't know about y'all. I don't have a clue about y'all. I know about Mike. That's all I know about. And I know one thing. The devil can get a hold of me if I let him. If I don't tell him to get out of here, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, get on down the road, because you don't belong here with me. I have to tell him 100 times a day. I don't need to hear what you got to say. I don't need to be thinking about what you have put in my head, because it's not God's plan. It's not the word of God. And so, but she was listening, and the devil sneaked in. And after he got the door open, he felt very sure that he had this whipped. He thought, I am going to be able to spoil this plan that God has. I'm going to be able to control these people, and God will not be able to. That was what the devil was thinking. So what'd they do? They went on and eat of the fruit, and they realized that after they eat the fruit, they had some knowledge that they didn't have. They knew some things that they didn't know. But it wasn't good. It wasn't anything good. The first thing they realized, they were standing there naked in the garden. How did you know you were naked? They realized that things had changed immediately after they had eaten of the fruit. But folks, the thing I want us to think about today is what we started with this morning with the pouring of the water. The woman was at the well. The woman was a woman that didn't fit into society then, or maybe not today. She probably would today, but probably not then. But then she was coming to the well midday, and Jesus was there, and Jesus met her, and he said, "I need a drink." She said, "Jews don't have anything to do with us Samaritan women. Why are you asking me for a drink?" She was shocked that Jesus had anything to do with her. Folks, if you look at this scripture that we just read in Genesis 3, Jesus came in the cool of the day. He came to them in the cool of the day. Jesus didn't run into that garden like I would have with my belt in my hand saying, "You know what? I have given y'all everything that I could have possibly give you, and here y'all are acting like a bunch of heathens. You know, I'm going to strap your legs. I'm gonna do everything to you." He didn't do that, did he? He came in the cool of the day. He came very gentle. He came walking. They heard him. But he didn't tear into that garden to give them a scare. He didn't tear into the garden to, chastise them in any way other than to show them what they had done. To show them that they had listened to the devil when they should have been following God's instructions. So many times, folks, in my life, I've listened to the devil instead of following God's instructions. I could be here to this time tomorrow telling you example after example of how I followed the devil instead of the Lord. And in what it get me? Nothing. I got absolutely zero. If anything, I went back in the negative every time I tried. It produced nothing for the Lord. It produced nothing for me. It produced nothing. It's absolutely zero. But we see that God loved these people so much that he came to them, walking in the garden and speaking to them. And it says that as he walked among the trees, then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I have commanded you not to eat?" We see this, folks, as we see God coming, knowing already that they had eaten of the fruit, knowing already that they knew that they were naked, knowing that they had tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. He knew all of this. You ever stop and think about when you do something, when you follow the devil instead of your own knowledge of the Lord and knowing what the Lord really wants you to do? Other day, me and Wayne was talking about how the Lord directs our path sometime, and we both had a good story about how he directed our path on a certain day. And had not, we'd have been maybe in the middle of a bad situation. You see, the Lord directs our path, but both times, we really didn't want to listen to what the Lord was telling us. And both times, we thought we knew more. And both times, we almost come to the point of not obeying the Lord to the point to where it could have very easily cost us our life. Because we're hard-headed people. It's not just me and Wayne. It's all of us. We're hard-headed people. And so when we hear God speak to us, when we hear God speak in a still small voice, "No, I don't want you doing this. No, you do not need to be doing this." Listen, folks. Listen to him. When you have this inner feeling that God is not with this program that you're in, when God's not with you in whatever it is you're taking on, if you have this feeling, you need to back up and ask God what it is that he would desire for your life. Not what you desire, but what God desires for your life. It's probably going to be complete turnaround from what you desire. But folks, it's what God knows best. He knows what it's going to take to build his kingdom. And so we see that after the man replied, he first of all, he blamed the woman. Well, she give it to me, Lord. I wasn't going to eat that tree, but she went down there and picked all that fruit and ate it, and she said it was good, and I ate it. And then, you know, he's basically saying, well, Lord, if you hadn't given me that woman, I wouldn't have had this problem in the first place, you know. That's what he's basically saying, folks. But he's not only blaming the woman, he's really kind of shifting it back to God himself. Well, I couldn't do without my woman, so I'm very glad that he gave her to me. But that's just me. And Brian, I know he, yeah, amen, brother. That's what I was going to say. I know Brian's the very same way. He got to have his woman as well. But folks, when we do things against God's will, we become undefeated. We become defeated, but it's through his will that we become undefeated. There's no way the devil can defeat God. You know, I wrote down some stuff, you know, that I was thinking about how the devil in the Easter season was working. And he said the devil who tempted Christ, he tempted Christ in the wilderness. You think about this. It was the devil who came to Christ in the wilderness. And he told him, he said, you know, I got a lot better offer for you than what you're dealing with. You're fixing to die. You're fixing to go to the cross and die for God, and there's nothing in this for you, buddy. I'll give you this whole free world. I'll give it all to you. But Jesus didn't listen. It was the devil that was with Judas when he betrayed Jesus. It was the devil that led him to them coins, to that purse. It was Peter listening to the devil when he denied Christ. You know, he wouldn't have denied Christ had it not been for the devil pushing on him. The chief priest who prosecuted him. The false witness who accuses him. A plot that was put together to condemn him. The devil. This is the devil, folks, that's put all this together. And this was all put together that Pilate, what did Pilate do to him? I was thinking about that too. He condemned him to death. But this was all put together that it would destroy our Savior. And it would destroy your salvation. This is the devil. He didn't want you to have an everlasting life with Jesus Christ. He don't want you to be in heaven. He wants you to be miserable and be in hell with him. And so we see that by destroying our salvation, we look back at Christ. And as we look at Christ, Christ's death on the cross, he destroyed the devil. He destroyed the devil by the death, the burial, and the resurrection, folks. His power over death is gone. If you have your Bibles, or I know it's not on the screen because I don't know how to do that stuff, Brian does, but Hebrews, 2nd chapter. If you're not, just listen to what I'm going to tell you and read to you. Hebrews, 2nd chapter. Stuff going over here. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Let's just listen to 3 or 4 verses here. It says in Hebrews, if you look at the 15th verse about halfway through, it says, yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. I'm sorry, that's not the 15th. That's the 9th. The 9th verse, folks. I'm sorry. That's where we started. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. 10th verse. God for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. And that is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. And he also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. Listen to this verse. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Amen. Only through Jesus Christ could the devil be broken. So you see, undefeated folks, we're not ever going to be defeated if we stay in God's plan, if we stay focused on the Lord. You see how the woman at the well focused upon the Lord? He knew all about her. He knew who he was talking to. He knew she was a Samaritan woman. He knew that Eve had eaten the fruit. He knew that Adam had followed her. He knew all about it. I guarantee you, he knows all about you. He knows all the struggles I face each and every day, all the struggles I face through the week. He knows those struggles. He knows the ones I give into. He knows the ones I don't give into. He knows whether I stand for him each and every day. He knows for whether I depend upon him throughout the week by the Holy Spirit living within me to guide me, to tell me about other, to let me tell others about him. He knows everything about me. That used to scare me to death, folks. But today I love it. I love it. I love it because I know he loves me. I know he loved me enough that I would not be defeated. I would never be defeated because he sent Jesus Christ to the cross. He sent Jesus to the cross to die for my sin and for yours. And that's how much he loved you, because he did. You think about it, this series, as you hear these stories, folks, of how the devil was planning to take everything away from God. He wanted everything to end up for him and for his glory. And he does today for him and his glory. But we cannot let that happen. We live by our faith because we haven't seen God. We haven't walked hand in hand with him yet, even though we're getting closer. We haven't yet. So we live by our faith. And folks, I hope today that God knows your heart. I hope today that he knows you love him. You know, I read a little clip this week, and I just like to read little short stuff, but this one guy said, how would you react if Jesus said, hey, dude, come on, go home with me for a week? You know, we're always inviting somebody to come spend a week with us or come spend a few days with us on vacation. How would you react if Jesus said, hey, come on, go home with me and let's stay at my house for a week? You know, we have to think about that because we always have something else besides Jesus on our agenda. You say you don't, but if he offers you a free week at his house, would you go this afternoon? Come back next Sunday morning? Maybe, maybe not. Think about it as we go back into the week. If there's one here this morning that does not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'll be on the wings. We'll pray. We'll whatever we need to do this morning. So feel free to come and talk to me. And I just want you to know, he loves you more than anyone else will ever love you in this free world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.